हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम ईशावास्यम् इदगम सर्वं यत्किंच जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः माग्रधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगम् समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असुर्यानामते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसा वृताः तागंस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनीजदेकं मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वा दधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्तिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानं ततो न विजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मैवाभूद्विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कः शोकः एकत्वमनुपश्यतः सपर्यगाच्छुक्रम् अकायमौव्रणम् अस्नाविरगम् शुद्धमपापविद्धम् कविर्मनीषी परिभो स्वयम्भूः याथा तथ्यतोऽर्थान् व्यदधाच्चाश्वतीभ्यः समाभ्यः अन्धम् तमः प्रविशन्ति ये अविद्यामुपासते ततो भूय इव ते तमः ततो भूय इव ते तमः यवो विद्यायागम् रताः अन्यदेवाहुर्विद्यया अन्यदाहुरविद्यया इति सुषुमधीराणाम् येनस्तद्विचक्षिरे अविद्याञ्च अविद्याञ्च यस्तद्वेदोभयगुं सः अविद्यया मृत्युं तीर्त्वा विद्यया अमृतमश्नुते அந்தம் தம பிரவிசந்தி ஏ அசம்போதி முபாசதே தத்தோ போய இவ தே தமஹ யவோ சம்போத்யாகம் ரதாஹ அன்யதேவாஹு சம்பவாத் அன்யதாஹுர சம்பவாத் இதி சுஷ்ருமதீராணாம் ஏனஸ்தத்விச சக்ஷிரே அசம்போதிஞ்ச விநாசஞ்ச யஸ்தத்வேதோ பயகும் சஹ விநாசேன மிருத்யும் தீர்த்வா அசம்போத்யாமிருதமஸ்னுதே ஹிரண்மயேன பாத்ரேண சத்யஸ்யாபிஹிதம் முகம் தத்வம் பூஷன்ன பாவ்ருண சத்யதர்மாய த்ருஷ்டயே பூஷண்ணேகர்ஷே யமா சூர்ய ப்ராஜாபத்ய வ்யூஹரஷ்மீன் சமூஹ தேஜஹ யத்தே ரூபம் கல்யாணதமம் தத்தே பஷ்யாமி யோசாவசௌ புருஷஸ்ஸோஹமஸ்மி வாயுரநிலமம்ருதம் அதேதம் பஸ்மாந்தகம் ஷரீரம் ஓம் க்ரதோஸ்மர க்ருதவும் ஸ்மர க்ரதோஸ்மர க்ருதகம் ஸ்மர அக்னேனய சுபதா ராயே அஸ்மான் விஸ்வானி தேவா வயுனானி வித்வான் யோத்யஸ்மஜ்ஜுஹுராணமேனஹ யுயோத்யஸ்மஜ்ஜுஹுராணமேனஹ போயிஷ்டாந்தே நம உக்திம் விதேம. I think last mantra you want to chant after me. அக்னேனய சுபதா ராயே அஸ்மான் அக்னேனய சுபதா ராயே அஸ்மான் சுபதா ராயே அஸ்மான் விஸ்வானி தேவ வயுன் விஸ்வானி தேவ வயுனானி வித்வான் யுயோத்யஸ்மத் ஜுஹுராணமேனஹ யுயோத்யஸ்மஜ்ஜுஹுராணமேனஹ யுயோத்யஸ்மஜ்ஜுஹுராணமேனஹ போயிஷ்டாம் தே நம உக்திம் விதேம. A few more lines, Bhashyam be completed. Shankara Bhagavat Padaha concludes his Bhashyam, presenting his establishing the fact knowledge itself is freedom. It need not be combined with anything, especially karma. So, Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi. There are people, Jnana Karma Samuchayavadinaha. People who hold on to the view, contention, that knowledge must be combined with karma for the attainment of moksha. This is their contention, very strong contention. Why? Because Shastram itself prescribes karma and jnanam. Shastram prescribes two disciplines ultimately for moksha. Therefore, they both must be combined for the attainment of moksha. This is the idea. Okay? Karma yogaha, the path of karma, pravritti margaha is prescribed by the Shastram. Nivritti Margaha is also prescribed by Shastra. It means Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha, both disciplines are prescribed by Shastra Madhi. Ultimately, to enable a human being discover his Swarupam, which itself is freedom from bondage of karma. Bondage of samsaraha. So, yesterday we saw what is bondage of karma. So being caught up in that beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths is actually being bound by samsara. So to free oneself from the bondage of karma, samsara, all that one needs is jnanam. Why? Because what is the root cause of samsara is ajnanam. And which ajnanam? Which ajnanam? Not moola ajnanam, not moola avidya, but ajnanam obtaining as the trait. When the ajnanam, jnanam is manifest, still there is ajnanam. So ajnanam of what is manifestation, what is the source of manifestation? That ajnanam is still there. It is the ajnanam, you can say atma jnanam. Why we call it atma jnanam? Because it is the knowledge of the ignorance of the innermost essence of an individual, obtaining as the very truth of I. Therefore atma jnanam. It is the knowledge of the reality of the whole, therefore it's a brahma jnanam. Therefore, this is the ajnanam, and if this ajnanam is resolved, then ajnanam caused, ignorance caused, everything will resolve simultaneously. When we understand the problem, we saw yesterday, one by one we go, because of ajnanam there is adhyasaha, because of adhyasaha there is adhyaropaha, because of adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, there is ahankaraha. Wrong notion. Because of ahankara there is karma, kama, desire. And because of desire, many desires. And because of desires, action, karma. And because of karma, palam. Because of palam, punaha janma. Again, like that goes. You see, once you're born assuming a human body, assuming any physical body, and there performance of karma becomes inevitable, living becomes inevitable, production of results become inevitable. So non-perform, the doubt may come. Then can you say that non-performance of actions is better? Some people have this idea. Only if I perform karma, karma produces result. If I do not perform karma, I can escape. If results won't be produced, then I don't need to exhaust karma phalam. I can escape. No. That is a very, very wrong thinking. Without, it is impossible for any being to live, to be here without performing any karma, even for a second. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtat tyakarma krita. We will come across in Bhagavad Gita. Kshanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrita. Nobody can remain even for a fraction of a second without doing anything. Again, we should remember, non-performance of actions, non-performance of actions will not free one from bondage. Will not remove ignorance. Non-performance will not remove ignorance. For us, the problem in the sense, what is the cause of samsara is ajnana, means we only see what is that which will resolve ajnanam. Ajnanam has to be resolved, and ajnanam alone can help you resolve ajnanam. Other than jnanam, non-performance of actions also will not remove ignorance. Performance of actions also will not remove ignorance. Isn't it very important? Non-performance or performance of actions will not remove ignorance. Jnanam alone will remove ignorance. But when the karma performed with the proper attitude, penetrating mental disposition and with the commitment to dharma and seeking Bhagavan's grace prayerfully, worshipfully, that becomes a discipline and that contributes only for mental preparation for jnanam. Thereby one can become prepared for jnanam, then pursuit of knowledge will be effective. He can attain jnanam, he can enjoy the benefit of jnanam. This is the order. So Shastram prescribes Pravritti Margaha because you understand now how if this is ajnanam being the cause, karma has to be performed. Because we do not have any say over our disease. Diseases are naturally coming up. Therefore, karma has to be performed. Again, to live this life, to maintain your physical body, even to live this life also, karma is inevitable, karma is important. But how performing karma, how you must prepare your mind, you must come out of this bondage. That is what Shastram teaches, the way of life, how. Jiji Vishet, you already have desire to live, but how you should live. Karma kurvanneva, performing, but how with the proper attitude, with the commitment to dharma, etc. Everything, how you should do, how you should live, how you should invoke the greatest devatas, how you should be worshipful, everything Shastram teaches. It's all the teaching. The first part of the Veda, Veda Pura Bhagasya, Pradhanam Lakshyam, the main aim of the Karmakanda of Veda is to enable a human being discover this passion, prepare his mind for jnana. That is why a person must live, if you ask whose life has been lived properly, whose life has served its purpose, if you say, the person who is able to discover dispassion in his life by knowing the limitations of everything, and his, that person's life alone is really lived properly, has served its purpose. A person is not able to discover dispassion, still he is passionate after living so many years, after becoming very old, which means the life has not taught him. He has not learned, he is not sharp. He is not intelligent enough to learn from his life's experiences. Therefore, Shastram itself prescribes these two disciplines. Therefore, many people are of this view, why can't we combine both for the attainment of jnanam, attainment of mokshaha, karma and jnanam. And those people are jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. And for them, Shankara has to make it very clear. They need not be, cannot be, should not be combined. Jnanam and karma should not be combined at all. The problem is caused by ignorance. The solution for the problem is only jnanam. You need only jnanam. It need not be mixed with anything. Because actual bondage is caused by your notion, the wrong notion you have about yourself. So the notion every individual entertains about one's own self is erroneous. That notion needs to be corrected. How are we going to have the notion corrected? Whole perspective has to change. Whole perspective has to change. We see ourselves through our accomplishments, achievements, our physical looks and the intellectual sharpness, how intelligent I am, our intellect and brilliance and brightness, and then our academic pursuits. We see ourselves through all that we possess, what we have. We never see through ourselves what we are. That's the problem. But perspective has to change. And for this perspective change, for error to be corrected, very ignorance has to be resolved. The perspective of one's own self is based on ignorance. not even knowing what I is, what I am. And ever the notion is entertained. Therefore, ignorance is resolving the ignorance is the only means, for which jnanam is the only means, only solution, knowledge. Jnanadeva kaivalyam. That he wanted to establish here. It is only jnanam, na karma. But what is pravritti margaha for then? What is karma yogaha for? Without karma yogaha, without going through the discipline of pravritti margaha or karma yogaha, is it possible for one to attain jnanam? One must be. It is not possible. Why? Because one needs required mental disposition for attainment of jnana. And to have that antakrana shuddhi, antakrana ischalyam, the mental preparedness, one must go through a life of karma yogaha. That's why karma yogaha itself will be incomplete without the attainment of jnanam for moksha. And jnanam will be impossible without going through a life of karma yogaha. They both are complementary. They both must be followed sequentially, not simultaneously. Shankaracharya's view is sama samuchchayaha is not possible, but krama samuchchayaha is important. Okay, there's no way of omitting anything here. In this context, I would like to tell you one thing before I just go to the text. In India, you must have heard of these two rivers. Of course, all of you must be knowing. Yamuna and Ganga. Swaminiji is there in Yamuna and I am staying in Ganga. You know that these two rivers are important. These two rivers are? Oh, so they were hungry. Now, why I am saying these two rivers are holy rivers? Yeah, according to Veda Shastram, everything is Ishvara, everything is Bhagavan, any mountain is divine, river is divine, any water is divine, everything is divine because everything is Devata, everything is manifestation of knowledge, everything is Ishvara. It is in your view, in your attitude, everything is Ishvara. When you look at every small thing as manifestation of knowledge, then everything is Ishvara. The whole is Ishvara. All that is here is only Ishvara, Bhagavan. But these two rivers are very special. What is the difference? Any water flowing in any river is Bhagavan only. In India, we consider these two rivers very holy rivers because the river Yamuna, in Bhagavatam, it is said, Bhagavan Krishna always had his Rasa Leela and he was always dancing and playing on the bank of river Yamuna. People who go, they touch the, you know, the sea, river bank, they touch the soil, put on the head because, oh, Krishna's feet touched the soil here. Very thought, you know, everywhere he danced, he walked and he enjoyed. So that soil is so, the river bank, very auspicious because Lord Krishna danced there. So river Yamuna is very holy river. So a lot of Vaishnavites, for them river Yamuna is very important river. And river Ganga is also very holy because it flows, comes out of the head of Lord Shiva. They say this. You know, which of these two rivers is holier? Isn't it? In fact, river Yamuna represents karma yoga. River Ganga symbolizes jnana yoga. Both are important. Without Yamuna, Ganga is not possible. Without Ganga, Yamuna will be incomplete. Yamuna stands for karma yoga. And Ganga symbolizes Jnana Yoga. In fact, the river Ganga, why river Ganga is likened to the eternal flow of Vedic wisdom? You can never find out where exactly the river originates from. Any river for that matter. If you go in search of the river, where does this river come from? Because the water is flowing to this area. Where is it coming from? You have to walk along with the river. Keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Even if you go along with the river, you can never find out the actually moolam, nadi moolam. You can never find out. You will go to a certain point, then again you cannot find out where exactly it comes from. From there, where? Similarly, Rishi Moolam, if you find out what is the source of knowledge, where does this knowledge come from, originate, you find out, you look for outside, you cannot find out. So, Veda Shastram is perennially eternal, timeless scripture Veda also. You cannot find out the moolam of Veda Shastram. You can find out. It's there, that's all. So, the Yamuna, the Ganga river, people have this river Ganga symbolizes Shastram, Veda Shastram. And people who go to Kashi, other places to have dip in Ganga, even if they do not, they can play for any number of hours, that's a different thing in water, but they are supposed to have 3 dips. Dip 1, dip 2, dip 3. And why? The first dip stands for Shravanam. Second dip stands for Mananam. Third dip stands for Nididhyasanam. After having 3 dips, you would have got yourself soaked nicely in Jnana Ganga, Jnanam. And you come out all over, Jnanam overflowing. Knowledge. When you have dipped, all your Ajnanam, Ahankara, Adhyasa, Adhyaropa, Kama, Karma, Kartrutvam, Bhaktrutvam, all wrong notions. You get yourself washed off. Let all the dirt of Ajnanam and ignorance caused all other things, you get them washed off. All of them go. And all of them go, what now? Your perspective changes. And you come out, you went into the river with the wrong perception of yourself, wrong perception of the world, with all problems, with all lot of dirt of Ajnanam and other things, and you come out getting, having yourself washed, no? All those ignorance and all the dirt in terms of ignorance, etc., washed off, you come out clean, as a clean person, pavitra, pavitra purushaha, you come out with a different perspective. Come out of Shastram, Shastra Ganga, Jnana Ganga, come out with a different perspective. Now what are you? Atma. What is this world? Atma. Before you saw the world, now you see only Atma. He is called what? Seeing. You can give 2 different answers. What do you see here? Ocean. What do you see here? Only water. Both answers are right. From 2 different perspectives. But who is more right? One who sees water is more right. Is it clear? If you see the ocean, you don't see the water. If you see the water, ocean is resolved in water. This is called achadanam, covering. Like that here also, this person who saw, for whom the world was real before he was seeing the jagat, now he sees Brahma. He sees Brahma in the form of the world. He is only Brahma. For him, the self is Brahma, everything is Brahma. There is nothing other than Brahma here. is a different perspective. Okay, perspective change is the result of jnanam. And the different perspective comes out, therefore, is a different individual, different person now, as a jnani. When does a jnani comes out of jnana ganga as jnani? And therefore, that's why even in celebrated Deepavali, is actually like Deepavali celebration itself is for this. The row of lights, Deepa Avalihi, the row of lights, the lamps are lit, which means, and the Narakasura is killed. You see, ignorance is Narakasura, and he is killed. And once you come out in jnanam, the different perspective, you are a person reveling in the vision of fullness. So, reveling in one's own glory, reveling in the vision of one's own real nature being fullness, is celebration of moksha. It's Deepavali, isn't it? Then wear new clothes, because you are a different perspective, a different person now. Okay? Therefore, Yamuna prepares for Ganga. Let us read here. So, jnanam itself is the means. It should be combined. And we saw yesterday, when Shankara Bhagavatpadaha as Advaiti quoted the mantra from Kathopanishad, which states ignorance and Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge. Ignorance and self-knowledge are far away from each other, they're diagonally opposite to each other, they're in two different directions, they're opposed to each other. When he quoted that mantra, which means that, and he now, this Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi still says that mantra actually comes from the portion where Yama was praising Nachiketas, that was from Arthavada portion. Whereas the mantra he quotes is from Vidhi portion, which means the Karmakanda portion. Karmakanda means, Karmakanda is where the commandment is involved. Therefore he says, the mantra which I quoted is more effective than the mantra you quoted, because your mantra comes from Arthavada portion, my mantra is taken from Jnanakanda portion. Therefore, we must be, karma and jnana must be combined. And finally, Shankaracharya says, let us read the page number 71. That's why we stopped yesterday. Sahasambhava.
Sahasambhava.
The first, na. The last mantra, if you remember, Vidhanat Avirodhaha. Vidhanat avirodaha is the previous mantra, last sentence. That vidhanam means the mantra, the Ishavasya mantra, where avidya and vidya are said to be combined. And that mantra, Ishavasya mantra, is from the Karmakanda portion. Vidhanat means due to this mantra being taken from Karmakanda portion, it is more relevant. So avirodhaha. Therefore, there is no contradiction between knowledge and action. Knowledge and karma. Eva. Iti cher. If I say that is his, he wants to say. And Shankara answers in page number 71, na. Sahasambhava anupapattehe. Anupapattihi, upapattihi, anupapattihi, impossible. What is not possible, what is impossible? Sahasambhavaha. Sahasambhavaha means simultaneous combination, of simultaneously combining karma and jnanam is not possible. Saha means saha sambhavaha, he means what? Saha samuchchayaha. Okay, following both disciplines together will not work. Krameena. This is a very important line. Okay. Krameena. This is again Purupakshi. So already he made it very clear. Simultaneously they cannot be combined. But he himself means what? Krameena means, but sequentially they can be followed, they should be followed. Now next, Purupakshi, sort of he wants to compromise, but still he has some problem. Look at this. Krameena, yeka ashraye, krameena yeka ashraye, syatam, vidya, avidya, vidya vidye, iti chet. So vidya and avidya can have the same ashrayaha, same locus. What does it mean? Let me make it very clear. The person, okay, I accept, now the karma samuchyavadi, jnana karma samuchyavadi accepts Shankaracharya's unfoldment, or his contention. Now he says, for the person first lives a life of karma yogaha. Then the person becomes locus of karma. Then he is given to the discipline of jnana yoga. He attains jnanam. When he attains jnanam, he becomes the locus of jnanam. Same person becomes karma ashrayaha. Same person becomes jnana ashrayaha. Is it clear? The person, same individual becomes karma ashrayaha when he lives the life of karma yoga. Then later on he becomes jnana yogaha when he follows jnana yogaha, attains jnanam. Shankaracharya says, read the mantra now. Na. Every time he says, na, na. Vidya utpattau, avidyayaha, hi astatvat, ashraye, avidya, anupapattehe. Interesting. See what he says. See, when he performs, when he is given, a person is given to the discipline of karma yoga, as a performer of actions, he is definitely an ajnani. A performer of karma is an ajnani. Don't mistake, okay? Non-performer of action is not a jnani. Be careful. Definitely a karma yogi is an ajnani. When he has ajnanam, he has kartrutva, he has wrong identity, and he has these wrong notions also. Aham karta, aham bhokta. He entertains bhoktrutvam, kartrutvam. His identity is not with atma. Identity is with anatma. Kartrutvam is there, bhoktrutvam is there. Isn't it? So then he is ajnani. But when knowledge takes place, so vidya utpattau, when knowledge takes place, what happens? Ignorance resolves avidyayaha hi astatvat. Because ignorance is resolved in knowledge, tad ashraye, when the person becomes what now? His identity is no more with anatma. In when knowledge takes place, ignorance is resolved, the erroneous perception is corrected, with a different perspective, this person's identity is with Atma now. சித் ஆத்மா, தென் அவித்யா, அவித்யா அனுபபத்தே, நோ மோர் அஜ்ஞானம், நோ மோர் அஜ்ஞானம் மீன்ஸ் வென் இக்னரன்ஸ் இஸ் தேர், ஜானம் இஸ் நாட் தேர். தி பர்சன் இஸ் கர்ம ஆசிரயா, தென் ஹீ இஸ் நாட் ஜான ஆசிரயா. இந்த பர்சன் இஸ் ஜான ஆசிரயா, தேர் இஸ் நோ மோர் கர்த்திருத்துவம். லோகஸ் ஆசிரயா மீன்ஸ் லோகஸ். ஐ டெல் யூ வாட் இட் இஸ், வென் அ பர்சன், see when a person is performing, when ajnanam is there, ajnanam is there, his identity is with ajnanam. When ajnanam is there, his identity with this atma. So ajnanam and jnanam cannot coexist. So karma and jnanam, this person cannot have identity. I was before, that's not possible. He was never anatma, always is atma essentially. In ajnanam alone, identity with the kartrutvam, bhaktrutvam is possible, with the karma is possible. In jnanam, ignorance itself is not there. Therefore, identity is not possible. Ignorance and ajnanam, jnanam and ajnanam, kartrutvam and jnanam cannot coexist. The doership, the notion I am the doer and knowledge cannot coexist. Why? In knowledge, the notion resolves. Is it clear? That's all. Simple. Therefore, even they never, never can, even never can they coexist. When ajnanam is there, jnanam is not there. When jnanam is there, ajnanam is not there. In karma, when an ajnanam, ignorance is there, kartrutvam, doership is there, enjoyership is there, everything is there. In jnanam, doership goes, enjoyership goes. So we cannot say the person is karma ashrayaha. When he has, when he is jnana ashrayaha, how can he be karma ashrayaha? He cannot have identity as the doer. After attaining jnanam, the person cannot have identity as the doer. I am the doer, that notion cannot be there. Therefore, that is not possible. Kramena also, vidya avidya ashraya. The person is, can never be said, the person, one person can never be the locus of both. When you are karma ashraya, you are not jnana ashraya. There is no jnanam. When you have jnanam, there is no doership on your part. Is it clear? He gives the example. Nahi agnirushnaha prakashascheti vijnana utpattau யஸ்மின் ஆஶ்ரயே ததுப்பன்னம் தஸ்மின் ஏவ ஆஶ்ரயே சீதஹ அக்னிஹ அப்ரகாஷஹ வா இதி அவித்யாயாஹ உற்பத்திஹ ந அபி சம்சயஹ அஜ்ஞானம் வா யஸ்மின் சர்வாணி பூதானி ஆத்மைவாபூத் நிஜானதஹ தத்ர கோ மோஹ கஷோக ஏகத்வம் அனுபஷ்யதஹ இதி சோகமோஹாதி அசம்பவ ஸ்ருதேஹே. இதி சோகமோஹாதி சம்பவ ஸ்ருதேஹே. வாட் ஹி வாண்ட்ஸ் டு சே, வென் சப்போஸ் அ பர்சன் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் அக்னி உஷ்ணா பிரகாஷ ச இதி விஜ்ஞான உற்பத்தோ. இமேஜின் அ பர்சன் ஹூ டஸ் நாட் நோ ஃபயர், ஹி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் வாட் ஃபயர் இஸ். Fire is that which is of the nature of light and heat. Agnihi aushnaha prakashascha, prakashascha iti. The fire is an element which is of the nature of heat and brilliance. a person understands, yes, minne, this person is a, he is a jnana ashrayaha. Jnana ashraya means he is endowed with this knowledge. The person who is endowed with the knowledge is, one who has the knowledge is jnana ashrayaha. Is it clear? That person, tad utpannam, tasmin neva ashraye. Again, the person who is endowed with the same the knowledge, the same person, again, shitaha agnihi aprakashaha, fire is cold, fire is of, no, fire doesn't have light, etc. Vaiti, avidyayaha utpattihi. Again, ignorance of fire, in terms of fire is cold, fire is not brilliant, etc. Or even doubt also, samshayaha agyanamva, doubt or even, not even ignorance, even doubt will not be there on the part of the person. What he wants to say, once you know, after jnanam takes place, again agyanam will not come back. Somebody asked me one day, somebody asked me in the class, suppose after attaining jnanam and after discovering freedom, moksha, will there be any chance of again becoming ignorant or getting into samsara? Somebody asked me in the class. I don't know who asked me. I mean, the person is gone. I don't know. And I immediately said, no. Once you attain jnanam, again ignorance will not come back. Not only ignorance will not be there, even doubt will not be there. So he gives example very clearly. You suppose a person who is completely ignorant of what fire is, this person discovers the fact about the fire. Fire is of the nature of heat and it is brilliance, of the nature of brilliance. Fire is hot and brilliant, the person discovers. And afterwards, and that person is what? No, jnana ashrayaha. He has the knowledge of what fire is. After having the knowledge of what fire is, and fire is of the nature of brilliance and heat, again, will that person have the ignorance of fire and even doubt about the fire? It's not possible. Is it clear? Again, doubt will not come, ignorance will not be there. Similarly, for as long as Atma Jnanam is there, all wrong notions about the self are possible. Wrong notions about the world also is possible. Your perception of, when the perception of the self is wrong, definitely your perception of the world also is wrong. Why? When you are ignorant of your own real nature, means definitely you are ignorant of what the universe is essentially also. You do not know. There's no way of discovering what this whole universe is essentially without knowing what you are essentially. You can never go there, no? Always the search begins as here only. It is very important for every individual human being to discover the truth as one's own real nature. Thereby one can discover the essential nature of the entire world becomes discovered simultaneously. It's as good as knowing the whole world. That is why kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. By knowing the real nature of one's own self, by knowing what Atma is, what I am, what this universe is, also what this entire universe is, becomes known as it were, essentially. So once a person understands the truth, then for him, he doesn't see the universe anymore. But what is universe for the jnani is Brahma, Atma for a wise person. For a wise person, what is water and the same thing is ocean for another person, ignorant person. Is it clear? Therefore, it's two different perspectives. In wise person's perception, what is water. An ignorant person's perception, what is ocean full of waves. Like that, in wise person's perception, what is Atma, Brahma. What is Atma, Brahma. An ignorant person's perception, what is world of plurality, duality, divisions and differences. Therefore, after the attainment of jnanam, the person becomes jnana ashrayaha. When he goes through these three disciplines, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and the person is endowed with clear ascertained vision of what is atma, this person is jnana ashrayaha. Jnana ashrayaha means being endowed with the knowledge. Is jnana ashraya. In ignorance, when the person has doership and enjoyership, he was karma ashrayaha. When he becomes a jnana ashrayaha, he cannot be a karma ashrayaha anymore. Okay, so simultaneously a person cannot be the locus of both. How he thinks, jnana karma samuchayavadi, how he thinks. At least even, okay, he understands, let me accept, he wants a compromise. Can I say then, after this jnana, this person was before karma ashrayaha, after attainment of jnana ashrayaha, he becomes locus of both? No. When he is a jnana ashrayaha, he cannot be karma ashrayaha. When he is karma ashrayaha, he is not a jnana ashrayaha. So he gave the example, Shankaracharya gives his example. So, agnihi ushtaha prakashaha chaiti vijnana utpattau yasmin ashraye tad utpannam. In the person on the part of whom this knowledge has risen, tasmin eva ashraye, in the same person, shitaha agnihi aprakashaha va iti avidyayaha utpattihi na. Again, ignorance will not be there on the part of person who has knowledge. Not only ignorance, samshayaha va, even doubt will not be there. It means there will be clear knowledge. And he says, similarly, he quotes an Ishavasya Upanishad mantra. Shankaracharya also quotes the Ishavasya mantra, so that jnana karma samuchayavadi will be happy. Because his quotations are from Ishavasya Upanishad. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmeva bhut vijanataha tatra kosho ko moha kashokaha ekattam anupashyataha. He quotes the seventh mantra. See, in the wake of knowledge of the Atma being the whole, the person sees all that is only the all-pervasive, abstract reality, the consciousness implied by the term Atma, all that is only Atma. Atma eva abhut, sarvani bhutani. Sarvani bhutani Atma eva abhut. There is nothing which is not Atma here for him. Because now, everything, he sees the Atma being free from object limitation. Seeing Atma being free from object limitation. We already understand very clearly, Atma is free from time limitation. Atma is free from spatial limitation. Because time doesn't exist outside of Atma. Even space doesn't exist outside of the Atma. Atma is free from time limitation, object, spatial limitation. Atma is... Am I very fast today? Okay. Sorry. Atma is of the nature of timelessness. Atma is of the nature of, limitlessness in terms of space. Some pressure to finish. Let me know if you don't take too much. Atma is of the nature of timelessness. Atma is of the nature of limitlessness in terms of space. That is understood very clearly. When the person says, Sarvani Bhutani Atmai Vabhut, everything has become Atma, means this is Atma being free from object limitation. definitely you all know what is object limitation. Every object being different from every other object is an object being limited by other object. This is object limitation. But now Atma is free from object limitation means there is no object which is different from Atma. Even though Atma is distinct from everything, no object is different from Atma. Like what? Even though water is distinct from form, name and function called wave and ocean, every wave is not different from water. Even though water is distinct from form, name and function called wave and ocean, no wave is different from water. Every wave is water. Like that, every object of knowledge, including time and space, is non-different from Atma. Time is Atma, space is Atma, all the forms are Atma, all the names denoting the forms are Atma, all the functions and actions associated with the forms and names are also Atma. There is nothing which is not Atma, nothing is different from Atma. Because existence of anything presupposes knowledge. For you to see something is, something enjoys existence, means existence of any form, name and function presupposes the knowledge. If there's no knowledge, manifestation of knowledge, then that object doesn't, ignorant of something, that object doesn't exist for you. Is it clear? If you're ignorant of something, that object doesn't exist. So existence of anything presupposes the knowledge, and knowledge presupposes the source of knowledge, and the source of knowledge is Atma. Therefore nothing exists outside of knowledge, reality. Therefore, I'm not elaborating on this topic here, just I'm telling you very briefly, this we'll see in another Upanishad. There's nothing which is not Atma. So the person who sees this, ekatvam anupashyataha, atma eva abhut, everything has become Atma, everything is Atma, there's nothing other than Atma. And for such a person who sees the oneness of the reality, how many realities are here? What is only the reality. Only the reality means there is no second thing other than reality. The reality is non-dual because the known is non-countable as an independent parallel reality. What is only the reality. The knower, known division is resolved in reality. And for such a person of the vision of oneness of Atma, how can there be any delusion? How can there be any grief? Kaha shokaha kaha mohaha. This was the mantra already unfolded before. Therefore, what does it mean? The person who is an ashraya of ignorance cannot be an ashraya of jnanam. Okay? Ignorance and knowledge cannot coexist on the part of a person. Not even ignorance, even the doubt cannot be there on the part of the person. Okay, samshaya rahita dridha jnanam, doubt free ascertained knowledge alone is there, is possible. There cannot be doubt, there cannot be ignorance, there cannot, a person cannot be ashraya, okay, locus of knowledge and karma, together. Is it clear now? Amrutam Ashnuta Amrutam Ashnute Iti Apekshikam Amrutam. Now he moves on to the next word. Amrutatvam, the immortality. Amrutatvam, the word Amrutam has two meanings. One is freedom. Amrutatvam means immortality. Immortality means Vokshaha. One meaning. Another meaning of the word Amrutam used in the context of Karma Kanda is what? Apekshikaha Mokshaha, temporary freedom, which is attainment of Devatatma Bhavaha. Okay? The freedom attained or discovered as a result of knowledge is absolute freedom. And the freedom attained in terms of attainment of the status of being Devata by going to Brahma Loka as a result of the practice of meditation is also meant by the word Amrutam here. So the word Amrutam used in the context of Karma Kanda, which is only a temporary freedom, it is not absolute freedom. So Apekshikam means temporary. It is not absolute. A relative freedom is not absolute freedom. Vidya Shabdena Paramatma Vidya Grahane Hiranmayena Ityadina Dvargamargadi Yachanam Anupapannam Syat. What he says, why he explains why the word Amrutam used in the context of Upasana, where the result of Upasanam is mentioned, where the Upasana Dvaya Samuchaya Phalam is mentioned, where the result of combining two Upasanams, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam and Prakriti Upasanam, by combining them, the result will be a person can result, as a result of practice combining those two Upasanams, a person can go to Brahma Loka, he can attain Devatatma Bhavaha when it is said, or a person who combines this karma and jnanam also goes to Brahma Loka, karma and Upasanam. The person who practices karma goes to Brahma Deva, Deva Lokaha, etc., Pitru Lokaha, etc., and the results of karma are mentioned. When the results of actions are mentioned, there also the word Amrutam is used. That word Amrutam is not, okay, that there also Amrutattvam is mentioned. That Amrutattvam mentioned there does not mean absolute freedom, only relative freedom. Why? Because Vidya Shabdena Paramatma Vidya Agrahane, Paramatma Vidya Agrahane, the word Vidya also means Upasanam. Paramatma Vidya Agrahane, when the word Vidya does not mean Paramatma Jnanam, you know, only Upasanam. Only it must be taken as only Upasanam, because a wise person who has Jnanam will not pray for Gatihi. A wise person cannot pray for Gatihi. Hiranmayena Ityadina Dwara Margadi Yachanam Anupapannam Paramatma Vidya Grahane. If when a person has the clear vision of the knowledge of the self, then a wise person cannot pray for, a jnani cannot, will not, it is not possible at all for him to pray for Gatihi. Oh son, please remove the disc, I want to travel through that. வித்யா ஹிரண்மயேன இத்தியாதி துவார மார்க்காதி யாச்சனா, பிரேயர் ஃபார் தி என்ட்ரி, பிரேயர் ஃபார் தி ரூட் பாத், சோபனா மார்க்கா, பிரேயர் ஃபார் தி குட் பாத் சுக்லகதி, பிரேயர் ஃபார் தி என்ட்ரன்ஸ் டு தி சுக்லகதி, பிரேயர் ஃபார் ரீச்சிங் ஹிரண்ய கர்ப்பா, தட் பிரேயர் இஸ் நாட் அட் ஆல் பாசிபிள் ஆன் தி பார்ட் ஆஃப் தி பர்சன் ஹூ ஹாஸ் ஜானம். Now how it is like? So Bhagavan comes. Okay, take the whole of Bahamas for yourself. He has written a will and given you. And you say, no, I want one small room in Sivananda Ashram. Bhagavan will go mad. Oh my God, I have given you the whole of Bahamas. Shivananda Ashram is part of this Bahamas. And one room, where is this one room? Are you fool or what? Bhagavan will ask like that. Is it clear now? Like that. A jnani, after Paramatma Vidya Grahane, having the knowledge of reality, reveling in the vision of his own nature being fullness, such a person, why should he pray for the removal of the disc? Why should he pray for Shukla Gati? Why should he pray for going to Brahma Loka? The prayer for Gati will be impossible. Is it clear? Now it's clear. Then example makes it clear. தஸ்மாத் உபாசனயா சமுச்சயா ந பரமாத்ம விஞ்ஞானேன இதி. தஸ்மாத், the word தஸ்மாத் means therefore, due to that reason, a wise person cannot pray for gatihi, cannot aspire for something afterwards. Attainment of knowledge is attainment of moksha, then all aspirations must resolve in a person. That is the accomplishment of the absolute. Isn't it? For he says, Tasmat, therefore, due to the reason, Upasanaya samuchayahana paramatma vijnanena samuchayahana. Therefore, self-knowledge, Paramatma Vijnanam cannot be combined with anything. Yatha Asmabhihi Vyakhyataha Eva. Yatha Asmabhihi Vyakhyataha Eva Mantranam Arthaha Iti Uparamyate. Now Shankara says, now it is concluded. Iti Uparamyate, thus is concluded. What is concluded? Mantranam Arthaha, the meaning of the mantras, thus concluded here as what? Knowledge cannot be combined with any karma, even meditation. After the attainment of jnanam, when you say after the attainment of jnana, means after the attainment of doubt-free, ascertained vision, then not even no meditation can even combine. Upasanaya samuchyahana paramatma vijnanena iti. No karma can be combined with, can be combined with knowledge. Knowledge by itself is the means for moksha. Knowledge is moksha. In fact, knowledge and freedom are identical. Thus has been already vyakhyataha eva, This is how the meaning of mantras has already been explained very clearly. Okay? I have already explained the meanings. I never had confusion. You had confusion. She says, he is, Shankaracharya says. And as Siddhanti says, he was always clear. Other person had the confusion. And so this is not, I am not telling this newly. This I have told already. He says. Is it clear? Iti uparamyate, thus concluded. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Questions? I'm supposed to summary also. It's okay, tell me. Yeah, please ask.
How then, after attaining nirvana, does one continue to perform service in the world? We don't do, if there is no karma, there is...
Yeah. See, after the attainment of jnanam also, even as a wise person, one, there will not be change in his external lifestyle. He will still continue to be performing actions, but he will be free from the notion, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Even as a wise person, physically giving up activities is not sannyasaha. In 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's made very, very clear. Okay, jnana karma sannyasa yogaha. Physically giving up activities is not jnana karma sannyasaha. Okay, karma sannyasa, renunciation of actions through knowledge means renunciation of actions means freeing oneself from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is actually renunciation of actions through knowledge. Even after the attainment of jnanam, a person will continue to do his, whatever he has to do for the well-being of a society. Loka kalyanartham means for the welfare of the society, the wise person still will continue to be performing duties, performing things. But the thing is, he is not performing anything for happiness. He performs everything happily, remaining in happiness, fullness. And second thing, he is free from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This freedom from wrong notions, I am being free from the notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is renunciation of actions through knowledge. Physically giving up activities does not make a person a jnani.
Is this person also free from expressing any longer anger and annoyance and the typical emotions of human beings.
This person is free from?
From expressing anger and annoyance and the typical emotions of human beings. So that we would see this person in such a light as that the way that they are expressing themselves in the world would be in a, as you mentioned, happily, in a state that does not express
or
put forth.
Understand what you want. Finished? Please complete your sentence. Finished? Okay. Yeah, see, not only this person will be free from expressing anger, etc., the person will be free from anger, all hold of all emotions. Because if you understand what is the cause of the anger or hatred or anything, what is the cause, root cause of the anger, if you say anger, jealousy, the all ultimately root cause of everything is ignorance only. The person is free from the hold of ignorance. He's resolved his ignorance means, and ignorance caused problems also will resolve simultaneously. Along with the ignorance, when the disease is removed, disease caused symptoms also should remove. After the disease is resolved, symptoms cannot exist. Sometimes you can have some medication to suppress the symptoms, still the disease will be there. As long as disease is there, this symptom will again and again they show up. The disease itself is resolved, symptoms can never be there. Definitely it is not possible for, if you think somebody is wise and that person is also gets angry, what? Then this is a confusion, okay? Take it for granted. Where there is wisdom, definitely all these emotions are resolved for good. Nothing can go and trigger his anger, because there is no anger, resolved. In fact, you know, this jealousy, hatred, especially anger, these are all emotions triggered whenever a sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, centered on I is triggered. I am small, I am inadequate. That notion is already there naturally. But you forget. Whenever those notions are, if you analyze why I got angry, somewhere your smallness has been triggered. The smallness centered on I is triggered. Do you think I'm incapable? Do you think I'm do you think I'm stupid? When a person says, I'm not stupid, something what is said by other person, what is done by other person, triggers the person's smallness. Definitely. If that is not there, there is no need for a person to come out with such expressions to anger also. So, in fact, such a question itself is, even the person is trying to manage the anger, so the expression won't be very harsh, but there is still expression. Isn't it? Because whenever the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation centered on I is triggered. Something what other person does, other person says, becomes instrumental. Other person is not responsible for this person's anger at all. Other person's behavior, what he speaks, what he says, what he does, his behavior, other person even looks also, need not be responsible at all for this person's anger. But what other person says or does, what happens to the other person may be instrumental to trigger this person's fundamental, common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. Whenever the fundamental problem is triggered, that is when, you know, the unacceptability of oneself. There's no self-accept, isn't it? Anger comes. Even jealousy comes. If somebody comes and praises Brinda, no, Bhargavi, in front of me. Oh, Bhargavi, amazing. Every day, everything she bakes is so nice. She's a wonderful cook. Somebody is praising her in front of me, not one, three, two times. I just hear this sitting there. That need not if I have punya medat, you will not, I also join oppose Bhagavan's glory. If this, if I am big hearted, this is Bhagavan's glory, Bhagavan Vibhuti, she is thus such a talent, is other way, either another way of seeing it. Otherwise, oh, I'm not able to see other person's face. I'm that triggers my papa, triggers my smallness. I'm not good enough. I'm not praised for what I am doing. Understand? Whenever other person is praised, that can trigger your smallness. I am small in terms of not being appreciated. Okay, the smallness is triggered, that comes as jealousy. Yeah, yeah, she's very good, very amazing cook she is, but then she could have added a little more that, it more this, understand? So, it is not a crime, but it's very natural problems, very, very, you analyze most of the times, it's these emotions are expressions of the expressions when the fundamental problem is triggered. The wise person is the one who is free from this common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I am. He's free. Because his perspective has changed, the wrong notions have been resolved, he is free from all those problems. Therefore, nothing can trigger. For the person who sees himself as a person of fullness, or reveling in vision of fullness, you know, these emotions cannot be triggered because there is no more fundamental problem. Over this, smallness cannot be triggered. There is no way of these emotions popping up. They're all resolved for good.
Oops, sorry, Ji. Thank you. I'm very clear that karma yoga cannot be combined with jnana, but could you explain or clarify the yoga of, what the meaning of jnana yoga in the yoga of synthesis of Sanshuana? Because
very good question. See, in Bhagavad Gita, the word yogaha, it is used in many meanings. Many meanings are there in different senses. Bhakti yoga means the topic of the chapter, the subject matter discussed in this chapter is bhakti. Karma yoga means the subject matter discussed, the topic of the chapter is karma. Raja yoga means the topic of the chapter discussed, there is meditation. Okay, that you have this. And asanas, when you practice yoga asanas, okay, there are asanas, exercises practiced for disciplining the body and mind, is called a yoga asanas. Isn't it? It is not merely for keeping one fit. Of course, physical fitness will be there. Definitely, health is also important there, but it's more that it's a discipline. When you call it discipline, everything contributes for disciplining your mind. And mind has to be disciplined for it to become subtle from being gross. The mind becomes subtle alone, the subtle teaching can be understood, subtle teaching can be assimilated. Okay? Therefore, my converting the gross mind into a subtle mind is very important. The whole, even education, purpose of education is that in India. What is education for? Of course, education, livelihood is important. But education is not only for earning, making livelihood. Education is also for mental refinement. So here, bhakti means devotion, love. But bhakti yoga, when you say devotion for God, love for God is bhakti. And why do you have love for God? What is your love for God for? As long as you think Bhagavan will make you happy, isn't it? People worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan, seek Bhagavan's grace for their peace and happiness. Isn't it true? What do you seek through being devoted to the God? Ultimately, peace and happiness. I want Bhagavan's grace ultimately for my peace and happiness. Okay. What do you practice meditation for? Ultimately for me to be peaceful, calm, free myself from stress, ultimately for peace and happiness. So what is meditation? Is a mental activity. And bhakti also, love for God, is also ultimately for your own happiness. And any action you do, karma, bhakti, meditation. Okay. Any action you do is also for given results, certain results. You want some results, and for specific results, you are doing specific action. So whatever actions you do, whatever results you want, ultimately by getting all those results, what do you want? Happiness and peace. Ultimately, by accomplishing results of actions you perform, by praying to the Lord, by worshipping the Lord, by even practicing meditation, through all of them, ultimately what you want is peace and happiness. Isn't it? But now I tell you, when you practice meditation, isn't it a mental activity? Action. When you perform anything physically, it's also what? Action. Whether you do physically, it is an action. Whether you meditate, it's a mental activity. When you speak or chant or recite, it's also oral activity. All activities only. Then, when you worship the Lord, pray to the Lord. Okay? So, knowing the Lord means it's knowledge. When you pray to the Lord, worship the Lord. When you pray, how do you pray? If you keep my eyes closed and you pray to the Lord, oh Lord, please bless me with good health, etc. You pray. That is what mental activity. If you mentally pray, it's a mental activity. Open your mouth and ask, it's a oral activity. Either oral activity or mental activity. Then you fall flat in Bhagavan, in front of Bhagavan, Smurti. Fall flat and do namaskaram. It is what? Action. So you go to temple or you go to church. You pray there and come back. What is it? Action. Understand? Going is action. And you recite a mantra. What is it? Action. You chant a shloka. Action. Is it clear? And you sing bhajans. What is it? Action. All are actions. Okay? Expression of devotion to the Lord in terms of praising and worshipping in any form is an activity. Okay? Love needs expression. I love God very much. Okay? Love needs expression. I love my child. I love you, baby. You simply say the child will be upset. Give her chocolate. Love needs expression. Concern needs expression. Care needs expression. Affection needs expression. Expression through an action. Is it clear? So whatever you do here are all actions. Your intention, your motive, your mind, your love is expressed in the form of an action. So bhakti is, I said already, bhakti is a common element for a karma yogi and a sannyasi. Okay? So bhakti is non-separate from karma and jnana. Is it clear? The meditation is a mental activity, is also what? Is karma. You club all the three under the one marga, one path. Karma, bhakti, meditation. All the three combine as one pravritti margaha, karma yogaha. And have jnanam separately as another margaha. Two disciplines. Have you answered your question? Is it clear? Now, let me make it clear. And here, they are not different paths. Even if you pray to the Lord, oh Lord, jnanam, I want, please reveal the darshan, to give me darshan, give me darshan, give me darshan. Even if you pray for all the time, and as a result of that prayer, you will be blessed with good teacher. Okay? You have the mind which will be prepared for jnanam. Still, jnanam is the means of moksha. Okay? They are not separate paths. If you only pray to the Lord without following anything else, will it give me moksha? That's the question. If you only practice meditation, will it give me jnanam and moksha? I told you already, jnanam is moksha. Meditation as an action cannot remove ignorance. Bhakti expressed in any form of action cannot remove ignorance. Karma as action cannot remove ignorance. Yesterday I made it very clear, karma in any form is an expression of, is a product of ignorance. But this bhakti, an expression of devotion to Bhagavan in the form of going to temple, praying and chanting, everything also becomes a yogaha, a discipline, when you have proper attitude. I worship the Lord, I pray to the Lord, I sing in praise of the Lord, I recite the verses revealing the glories of the Lord, I chant the mantras containing the names of the Lord, just to place my mind in Bhagavan all the time, means amazing discipline that is, because you try to keep prayer, worship, the chanting, reciting, singing, all these things actually keep you in association with Bhagavan all the time. It's very good. Okay? But it becomes yogaha when you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. When purushartha nischeha is there. Suppose you know, my purushartha, ultimate goal for me is moksha. Moksha means discovering freedom, happiness, fullness through knowledge of the self. That is my ultimate goal. There's no, because moksha is my choiceless end, ultimately. And that is, I'm living this life ultimately for this. The purpose of living life itself for a human being, for a human being, ultimate goal for a human being is definitely moksha. There should not be any doubt. You must be convinced of the fact. No doubt at all. My life is lived ultimately for discovering happiness. This is called, if you are very clear, the definiteness about your ultimate goal being moksha is said to be purushartha nischayaha. A person must have purushartha nischayaha. Which means a person must be definite about the purpose of living this life being moksha. Am I living this life for happiness? There should not be any doubt. Okay? You must be convinced. If you are not convinced of the fact, please again analyze human pursuits. What is artha? What do I want money for? What do I want family for? What do I want children for? What do I want the name for? What do I want this fame for? Popularity for? Even what do I need the recognition as a good person for? Why should I think I should be considered as a good person, nice person, right person? Why do I want to have more friends in life? Analyze. Ultimately, you will find an answer. Everything I want ultimately for happiness. I want to be secure. You know, I maintain very good relationship with everybody. I don't want to have any. Don't want to be controversial. I want to maintain good relationship with everybody. Okay, because in doing so, I feel secure. Ultimately, security is for happiness. Even any pleasure I want to enjoy is for happiness. Even dharma, why should I not tell lie? Why should I speak the truth? Why should I not cheat? Why should I not... Even following dharma values is ultimately for my own happiness. Nothing a human being does anything for anything other than happiness. Nothing a human being does for anything other than happiness. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. If at all you have love for anything in the world, the love for anything in the world is ultimately love for one's own self in terms of happiness. You know, once you understand this, and knowledge is happiness. Knowledge is the means for moksha. You are very clear. You become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Even you love, your passion for knowledge also is possible only if you know the value of knowledge. What knowledge can do for me? Why do I crave for Atma Jnanam? Why do I crave for Brahma Jnanam? Why am I interested in knowing the truth? Because it is this knowledge which alone can free me from bondage, which alone can help get me happiness, which I am searching for as my own real nature. Nothing. So now I know the value of knowledge, then I become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the connection between knowledge and moksha. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. Understand how knowledge is the means, moksha is the end. I understand the connection, I know the value of knowledge, then I become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Okay, nobody is a fool to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. See, whatever you pursue, you know the value of it. Isn't it? Then, once knowledge becomes your ultimate end, because knowledge and moksha are identical, when knowledge becomes the ultimate goal, and for that jnanam, this knowledge has to take place in this mind alone. That too, knowledge is of your own real nature, not of anything else in the world. Essential nature, what you are essentially. Now, even though you consider yourself as the grossest form which is walking and running, actually you are essentially a formless, abstract reality essentially. This is an amazing abstract fact. This has to be discovered. And for this has to happen in this mind. So this mind, must be really qualified. This mind must become, this mind must be conducive, isn't it? Mind must be prepared for that. But the mind which is restless, agitated, disturbed by impurities, interest in different things, this mind cannot have such a clear vision, because there's never, not even a fraction of a second, mind is away from reality. How can wave be away from water? No thought, no state of mind is ever away from reality obtaining in the form of knowledge, consciousness. Even though it's ever away from the reality, never, it can never survive. Still, never does that knowledge rise by itself, even though it's not at all away. Is it clear? The wave is never away from water, but the poor wave does not know it is water. Similarly, never are you away from the truth, but you do not know that there is no knowledge that you are the truth. Therefore, that mind has to be, why it is not clear? Mind has to be prepared. And that is why now you understand how important it is to take care of my mental wellness, mental health. Okay? You have to look after my mind. Mind is a baby. How you have to carefully fondle a newborn baby? This mind baby has to be looked after. That is why yogasanam, that is why prayer, that is why worship, that is why entertaining, understand, commitment to live life of dharma, all this is for taking care of your mental health. People think mental health means, you know, doing something. No. Living a life of values is not for anything, anybody else. To take care of your own mental health. No, trying to do all these things on organized manner is all for taking care of your mental health. What Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, Uddhared Atmanatmanam, Natmanam Avasadayet, Atmaiva Bhatmano Bandhu, Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. You will become your own enemy if you do not take care of your mind. You will become your own friend if you take care of your mind. Taking care of your mind means what? Know how careful we are in looking after, rearing a newborn, delicate baby who is so tiny and tender and delicate. How careful you are. You can't go and carefully take the baby like this. You can drag your 5-year-old child like this, but a newborn baby, how careful you are. What is the attitude towards? Everything is soft and delicate. How careful. Similarly, you must be conscious of looking after your mind. Okay? So, see that you are always following dharma. You are prayerful, worshipful, seeking Bhagavan's grace, ultimately for jnanam, for moksha. Isn't it? Therefore, for preparing your mind, you need meditation. You need bhakti. Bhakti in sense, bhakti in express form of actions. And also your duties performed in conformity with dharma. All these three come under the category of one topic of karma yoga. Bhakti, I told you, the real devotion is only when you aspire for jnanam, when you become a spiritual person. Real devotion. When you attain jnanam, you become the exalted among of the devotees. Okay, and when you pray for jnanam, you are real jnani, you are real devotee. Is it clear? Therefore, they're not different paths. Bhakti is a discipline, karma is a discipline, meditation is a discipline, all come under the category of one topic of karma yoga. Anything you do as expression of devotion, at your duties, performing your duties, or even practice of meditation, anything when you perform for purifying your mind, for jnanam, it becomes yoga. You know, purushartha nischeha, no commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. You're doing, praying simply as a simple devotee who seeks Bhagavan's grace for some simple things, then you are still a devotee, but it doesn't become a yoga. With the purushartha nischaya, when you do anything, it becomes yoga. So meditation, expression of devotion in the form of activities, and even karma, everything comes under the category of one topic of karma yoga. Is it clear? Not separate parts. Because to emphasize, if at all some Mahatmas have said that, just to emphasize that particular discipline. Because if people don't say that, they won't follow. Isn't it? See, in order to glorify Samuchaya, they said karma is, if you perform only karma, you'll go to darkness of heaven, etc. Like that, to emphasize, to make somebody do things, you have to say, this will lead you, give you this. That is how they must have said, always to emphasize any one discipline, to make a person involve himself in the discipline, they must have told like that. But actually what they mean is, definitely no Mahatma can do anything wrongly. When they say, okay, they all come under the category of one topic of Karma Yoga. Have you clarified your doubts?
Just to clear it in my mind, I understand that the three kinds of karma bhakti in Dhyana are the same path because our actions, mental action, physical action, etc. But when he said Jnana Yoga inside of the yoga of synthesis, this Jnana Yoga, the meaning of this Jnana Yoga is not the discipline, complete discipline of Jnana. It's just, let's say, in my case, this, like, listen the scriptures and be conscious of the goal of life through the Karma Yoga. Yeah,
Karma Yoga prepares the mind for Jnanam. Even Jnana Yoga, when you say listening to the classes, studying the Shastra, it's all karma only. Is it? But what is the palam aimed at? Jnanam. What is Jnana Yoga? I think by way of answering his question, I'm sure I have clarified many things. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.